Blog Talk Radio.
Here comes the ball. The lob. The jam!
What's up?
It's pretty crazy around here. I just moved in. Start work tomorrow.
Oh, man, you're in NorCal around, right? Is that right?
Yeah. Do you know Northern California much?
Not too much, to be honest.
So I'm not anywhere near the Bay Area because I'm not making enough money to be near the Bay Area.
I'm in
San Ramon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'm renting a room in a huge house that has, like, 7 other people living in it.
Whoa.
But, like, yeah. but the house is nice, and, like, my room is pretty nice. And, like, today was crazy because we had to get all this furniture and, like, assemble the desk and chair and put the bed together and shit. And my back is killing me. But,
oh, no.
Yeah. I feel so old. Like, my back is, like, I was hunched over helping with, you know, screwing stuff in, and now I just, like, I just, my back doesn't want to sit up straight. Like, I just want to hunch over.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, things are pretty good. You know, I'm excited to start work, like, actual work.
Yeah.
Sunday is probably actually going to be, like, one of my best time to do it now. Like, before it was mostly just for you guys, but now, you know, I'm going to be working, so Monday through Friday is going to be pretty shitty for me too.
Yeah. I can't do it. I'm still working. Like, it's not my day off. I'm working like 18 out of 19 days for this next stretch. So I work every other Sunday at the least. So yeah.
Oh my God.
If
there are Sundays you're just too tired to do it, I can host or
right.
I just can.
Yeah, I know. But I'm going to try and make it on Sunday because I have enough to say about the team from Summer League onwards probably. But the draft is really not my forte, so I'm kind of glad I missed it. We got some crazy numbers on that podcast. It's like
Did we
had some all-time numbers. Yeah, like I
oh,
think
really?
We got up to like 1,300 listens within a week.
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I think it's because, like, the draft and, like, you know, they had two picks.
Right.
But, I mean,
and it was, like, right, it was the morning after, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lucas getting on helps because, like, I mean, my Twitter account is getting up there, but, like, he still has a lot more than me. And
okay.
I think people probably, like, I think more people are probably like, oh, Lucas is on a pod because he was Locked On Clippers.
Right,
so, like,
right.
I'm sure, like, some people who followed him there will see his, like, him on podcasts and listen to them. So that probably helps.
Yeah.
But that's awesome.
That's pretty cool. What a popular dude. Yeah, no, but it's cool. I saw those numbers. I was like, holy crap. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we really did anything differently. Like, it was a classic us pod. We're like, oh, it's going to be short,
yeah.
You know, like an hour and a half.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But, yeah, there were good numbers on it. And I think it was a good day.
Yeah. Did you watch the draft?
I watched, like, half of it, and then my phone cut off, and then I was fucked. So.
It was really boring. Like,
it was. It's always boring.
Yeah, it's always boring, but, like, usually there are, like, trades and, like, at least rumors about stuff happening.
Oh,
like, After, like, after the lottery, basically, like, and the Clippers, like, the Clippers trade was, like, the last big thing to happen. Actually, no, the Suns at 16 with Michael Bridges, that was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
But after
that,
it was dead. Nothing happened. I was just sitting in front of the TV for, like, hours doing writing and... trying not to be angry and sad by the Jerome Robinson thing. But we'll see.
I'm trying to trust Jerry West.
Yeah, you know, I've come around on it a little bit, but I mean, when you look at like the draft, like grades and stuff that I put up, and like you can, there are a ton of other ones. Most of them seem like they would be a lot lower, but they always couch it. But it's Jerry West.
right.
If Doc Rivers had made that pick, it would be an F.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Which, like, honestly isn't really – I mean, it kind of is fair, but it kind of isn't fair. Like, you should just grade the pick on the pick.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've come around. I don't know. Have you been watching, like, highlights and stuff?
I've just watched highlights of Jerome Robinson, and, like, I just don't trust – like these all offense, no defense college guards until I see them in the pros. And I think Steph Curry was even an aberration because he was so dominant even in the postseason, even though he wasn't as much his second year, but he was so good at Davidson that I didn't think Steph was going to be an MVP or anything, but you could tell that this guy was like nobody could stop him and the entire defense was kid around him. And I guess you can say similar things between like players like Jerome Robinson and Trae Young, but they really, they didn't light up the tournament or anything. So
no,
that's Trae Young really fizzled out himself. So I just don't trust these guards who play no defense and are smallish, and it's hard for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think basically, I don't know how much draft stuff Aditya knows either, but I mean, we should touch on it briefly. And like, that's basically all I wanted to say. I think it's just like, I mean, I still just can't, like, Clippers fans, of course, are going insane. And, like, it went from, oh, no, like, who is this guy to, oh, like, he looks like he could be Lou Williams. To then it was, like, C.J. McCollum and Devin Booker, and then it was Klay Thompson. And now, did you see, there was, like, this really long comment on Clips Nation that compared him to Jerry West himself. And I was like,
oh, wow.
No.
That's great.
All in, like, 3 days.
Wow, Jerry West. Yeah.
He's definitely going to be a Hall of Fame shooting guard.
That's right. I think I saw someone compare him to like two all-stars and meet each other, something like that. I saw some crazy like superstar comparison. Like, I don't know, one of the Clips Nation commenters said that. I was just scrolling through his comments, and it's just funny. He's just a scoring guard. Like, I hope he can play defense. I hope he bulks up. I hope he's 6'6" and he's skinny. Like, I think my ceiling is, like, if he can be a Chris Middleton type, that would be amazing, and that's my ceiling
that's,
for him.
Yeah, that's, like, the best upside comp, like, maybe a slightly better scoring, slightly worse defending Chris Middleton.
Yeah, and if he can get there, that would be great, but I'm not expecting anything different than, like, a, you know, just a scoring six man, you know? So.
Right. Like, I think, I mean, I think the thing is, like, there's value in that. Like, if all he ever is, like, you know, close to prime Jamal Crawford. Like, I don't think that, like, Jamal Crawford, if he'd come around 10 years later, would not be considered, like, nearly as good. because like, you value efficiency and defense and stuff more.
Yeah, I don't think he's considered nearly as good even now anymore. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's like, also by anybody so much who worse.
Anyone who like looks back at his prime that watches the NBA now is probably like, yeah, Jamal Crawford just scored a lot, but he was always inefficient. Like, he's always been this guy. Like, he's not really changed much. He's just a little less efficient because he probably lost a little more bounce in his step. But he's never been like, I've never thought like, oh no, Jamal Crawford, like ever. Like, I'm sure he's gotten hot and like he won the Hawks some playoff games or whatever, but I don't know. He's just never been like that good to me.
His best couple years when he was on the Knicks, in like his mid-20s, his efficiency was like, he got to the line a lot more. It was still not great, but it wasn't horrible. And then his first year in Atlanta, he was legitimately very good. The one he won Sixth Man the first time.
Yeah.
And then his first two in LA, he was like pretty good. He has like five. He's been around for like what, 20 seasons? I don't know, like 18
right.
seasons.
Right, 20 seasons practically. Yeah.
Yeah, he had like five like seasons where he was probably an above average NBA player, and that's pushing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, if he can be like that, like that's still a useful NBA player, just not like who I would pick at 13. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm excited for Shea, but
I am too.
I mean, he was legit really good, but I wish they just drafted Miles Bridges. but they did not like him. Like, I don't know why. I have no idea why. If I was still in LA and like going to like their practices and stuff, maybe I can poke around at Summer League if I run into any Clipper staffers. But like, like I don't know if like they didn't like, because they really emphasize like intangibles and like the psychology and like how these guys think and competitiveness. Like, I don't know if he just sucked at that or if they didn't like his actual basketball workout or what, because like they just had no interest. They had no interest in drafting it.
Yeah, I don't know what really happened there, but I'm definitely excited for Shea. Shea definitely looks like a player, like, he looks so effortless, like, he's always on one gear, and he just seems really smart. Like, he just has, like, that kind of feel for the game that you kind of see very rarely in college players, and I kind of feel like he has that. So I'm not particularly worried about, you know, I don't even particularly know his ceiling, but he just has that really good natural feel. Like, he's never... I've only seen mostly his highlights, but he never seems out of control, which I like a lot. So,
yeah, I mean, he's good. I think, like, if he ever is going to make, like, become, like, a really good starter, like, his shot needs to get better. But as long as he can, like, split pass and play make, which he can, and, like, play defense, I don't know, like, he's going to be a pretty good NBA player. Like, I mean, I think, like, at worst, he's kind of like Ricky Rubio, like esque. Probably not as good a passer. Not as good a passer. Like that type of player.
Yeah.
I mean, your stuff to talk about looks good.
Okay. I mean, we can just kind of ad lib around it too, but whatever.
Yeah. I'm excited for Summer League, my first ever Summer League.
Wait. So when is Summer League this year?
It's July 6th. To the 17th.
17th. So I'm coming back on the 14th. When are the Clippers? Are the Clippers playing all, like, that'd be so
They're
awesome.
They're doing the tournament thing again.
So are they?
From like the 11th or 12th on, it's the tournament. So depending on how far the championship is, the 17th, and the semifinals are the 16th. And, So, like,
that'd be so much fun.
If they made a run...
Yeah,
they might. If nothing they else, Jerome Robinson should be the type of guy who destroys Summer League.
I hope so. That'd be fun.
Yeah, because I mean, the last time, like, I guess 2 summers ago, Bryce Johnson was like really good in Summer League, and we all were really excited for him. And yeah,
God,
Bryce.
What
Johnson.
A terrible basketball player.
Yeah, he's just not good.
He's just not good.
It's so weird. Like, he was a big-time player at, like, the top tier
And I'm pretty sure and he made the finals, right? That he made that finals game. That was the team that lost in the finals. I don't know. He's bad.
Yeah.
He's just
bad. I just Googled him and I'm reading this article that came out in late March about him. After 2 years in exile, basketball is finally fun again for ex-UNC star Bryce Johnson. It's like I don't know.
Sure.
I don't think it was about him being joyous. It was just him, like, not knowing what to do on anything.
Right. Who was the guy that was married to, was it Candace Parker? I think he was in Duke with
Sheldon
Shane
Williams.
Battier. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Sheldon Williams a little bit. in terms of how good of a basketball player he is. Sheldon Williams had some really great fantasy basketball moments. I want to say he was on some really shitty team, and he had put up a bunch of double doubles. So maybe Bryce Johnson can be that one. Right?
Yeah, because he had a long NBA career, considering how bad he was.
He's just a shitty player. So
6 seasons, he was around.
Yeah, 6 seasons. Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, I mean Bryce will be very fortunate to make it to 6. Very fortunate.
Yeah.
I mean, some team will probably take a flyer on him in, like, summer league or, like, maybe even training camp this year, but I do not see that happening.
Man. I'm sure I talked myself into the idea of him having minutes. I don't even understand how I did it. Because whenever he ever plays, even when he's with scrubs and, like, garbage time, he only plays one play, and he thinks he's, like, bigger than everybody else or dominant, and it's just embarrassing. Like, I hate watching him play basketball. Terrible.
Yeah. He was very fun.
And I didn't like it even in summer league. He just happened to be scoring more. Hey, Aditya.
Hey, what's up? Sorry, give me a second.
Not much.
We're lamenting
Bryce
Johnson.
All right, is Mike all right now?
Yeah, Mike's good.
It might be my least favorite summer leaguer of all time, which is saying something.
I never liked Adam Morrison, even though he had some good games.
Oh, Lucas's favorite.
I know. I just thought he was such fool's gold, and I was afraid that we would sign him.
Yeah. I mean, the veterans, like, because he was kind of a veteran at that point, right? That was his fourth NBA season. Like, those guys who, like, even if they suck, like, they've been around, like, they've played against NBA players, like, they're going to do well in summer league.
Yeah.
Like, it's really bad if they don't do well in summer league.
I think my favorite summer league was watching, Greek Shaq, after all that hype. What's his name again? What was his name?
Was it Demetrius... was it Shortsonitis? Wasn't that?
No. It was that dude. It was Big Sofo. Sofo.
Yeah.
Watching him, like, play and being just big baby-ish. It's great.
He's one of those guys who's just, like, he's great in Europe. Like, he's had, like, a great European career. And with Trey Tompkins, who I've been...
Tompkins. Good for Trey.
Yeah, because, like, I was following because I was looking up for Luka Doncic. So I was watching, like, the EuroLeague tournament, and I was like, Tompkins, like, he was, like, their third leading scorer and, like, the leading rebounder and shot blocker for, like, the championship team in Europe. I was like, holy shit, Trey Tompkins having, like, an amazing career, just not in the NBA.
Pretty cool. All right, Aditya, you ready? I think we're just going to mostly ad-lib a lot. We can go by the rubric on there. We can probably start with just a little bit of our thoughts on the draft. I don't have much to really give. I just watched some highlights of Jerome Robinson, and I know a little bit about SGA, but not like crazy amount. I barely watched college basketball this year. So
listen to see what other people on Twitter said. So you're ahead.
I did a lot of that too. So, I mean, you can just give like a gut instinct, like on how you feel about the picks, so we can be embarrassed later on. And that's about it. We can just kind of go into free agency, what we want the Clippers to do, what we think they can do, and then maybe talk a little bit about summer league. It should be a pretty quick episode, I think. So
that's fine with me.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll get started right now. I'll start the intro.
All right.
What's up, everyone? It's the Love, the Gem, the podcast. I'm your host for today, Siobhan. I'm here with Aditya and Robert. How you guys doing?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Aditya's good, too, I'm assuming. Probably.
Maybe he's dead.
Maybe he died. Yeah, he's good. So we're here to talk a little bit about the Clippers. No scores to talk about as of now, of course, but pretty soon, Summer League will be kicking back up, and we'll be hyping a lot of players for no reason, for them all to fail or them to be good. And a couple of players that we do want to be pretty good are Jerome Robinson of Boston College fame. Last time the Clippers had a Boston College alumni, it was Jared Dudley, and it wasn't so great. But I think Jerome Robinson could be good. Aditya, what do you think about Jerome Robinson? Anything?
Yeah, no, not going to lie, guys. All I know about this draft is what I've seen on Twitter. But I will proceed from this point forward, assume that I am an expert who's done all the requisite analysis and groundwork, and my word is God, obviously. Yeah, it sounds like he was a bit of a reach by, what I saw. And although there were like kind of rumors that came out after the draft that other teams in the teens were also targeting him. And there was a rumor, a couple hours before the draft that came out that turned out to be true, that Jerry West was extremely high on him. Mm-hmm. At least in terms of the Clippers roster construction, although obviously they're not in a place where they should be going best player available, it seemed weird that they kept stacking up on more guards. The Robinson pick, I don't know enough about him to make a real judgment. Hope he works out. And, I guess I'm just going to have to trust Jerry West like I did trust Doc Rivers' draft picks in years past. Well,
yeah.
I don't know how much I trusted those, but go on.
Yeah, I didn't know much about Jerome Robinson either. I did know a lot about mock drafts and some highlights from people in the Clippers range, but I actually hadn't heard of Jerome Robinson until he was picked. And then I kind of researched him a bit and I found out a little bit about him. And, he looks like a classic college basketball score first, defense later type guard who just is very crafty and knows how to get to the hole, had really great splits. Seems like he can shoot. Even if it's on a short sample size from later in his college career, which kind of makes me nervous. But, he looks like he can score, but I would say his upside is kind of limited, at least initially in the league. And if you guys want some heavy analysis on Jerome Robinson and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, from now on, you could probably listen to the previous podcast. I think SGA will be good. He looks like it would be hard for him to be a complete bust, which is, I guess, not the worst thing. He seems like he has a good feel for the game. But really, you're going to hear a lot of my takes on these two kids. Am I old enough to call them kids? I think so. I think I'm getting old enough to call people who are...
You are.
How old are you?
I'm 31 now. It's terrible.
Yes.
Oh, you're a dinosaur, man.
I'm a dinosaur. It's really bad. I was born in 87. It's great. Anyways, everybody, that's how old I am. I think these kids are going to be on display in Summer League, and that's really when I come to shine as far as knowing anything about the previous draft. And that's when I talk a lot about players who I had no idea existed before and really can hype them up. Rob, do you have anything left to say about either of these guys? You pretty much covered everything with Lucas.
I will say that the previous podcast, I think I said most of what I had to say. I was dead tired, that podcast. I don't know if anybody could tell. If I sounded a little lifeless, it's because I wrote like 6 articles that day and then had to pre-write some other stuff that didn't come to fruition. So it was a lot. And I just sat in front of a TV for like 8 hours. It was, not the greatest. Draft day is really fun for a while. And then you're just like, I want this to end so badly.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I do statistical models of players, and Jerome Robinson did not look very good by them. That's partially because I wait the last 2 years of college, and his sophomore year was just, to be frank, not very good. He did not shoot well from the field or from three. And, yeah, I mean, that dragged him down a little bit. But I think in general, he's just not the type of player that my model likes, which are players who do a lot of things and do specific things that he just doesn't, like rebound, have good assist-to-turnover ratio, get lots of steals. Didn't really do much of any of that, though I think he did have one season with a lot of steals. Putting that aside, I've watched a couple of his games in college and then a bunch of highlights and just read a lot of stuff about him. So, again, not an expert, but, like, I think I have, like, a little bit of a handle on him. And, I mean, most scouts and draft people who I trust were just not fans of him at all. They had him somewhere in the second round. I think he's better than that because, as you said, like, he can shoot, he can score, and he should be able to do both those things at the NBA level. Again, I just worry what else he does. When his shot isn't falling, like, can he play defense? Not really. Can he get rebounds? Can he play make for others? He's a better passer, but he doesn't really think pass first. So yeah, again, I don't think it was like an atrocious pick. I overreacted on Twitter the night of the draft just because there were guys on the board who I liked way more than him. But he's an NBA player, and he'll probably be like a scoring sixth man off the bench, which is fine. It's just not who I would have drafted at 13. But yeah, I mean, if I didn't emphasize enough during the previous podcast, like, I think Shea is going to be quite good. Like, I did mention, mm-hmm. I think he could make an all-defense team. So, I mean, that's pretty good. Yeah, I don't really have much else to say. Like, the draft on the whole was pretty good. Like, I did like that they got their guys. I liked that they went out and got them, which is good, and that they had conviction. What I didn't like, and that I forgot also to say, was that something leaked because I forgot which mock draft it was. It might have been The Ringer or it might have been ESPN's with Gavoni and Schmitz, the ex-Draft Express guys. Some big-time mock had him to the Clippers on Monday at 13, which went up like 15 spots. So somebody heard something from the Clippers that they liked him a lot. And he didn't really leave from there in the next 3 days. And that's something I don't like because – one, I don't think it's healthy to, like, fixate on guys, like, even 3 days before. Like, I really like keeping an open mind. Again, I'm not in those war rooms. It's probably a lot different there. And I also just don't like that got out because this Clippers front office has generally been pretty close to the vest. But that somehow found its way out, and that I don't like. But on the whole, I'd give the draft, like, a B grade, maybe like a B minus. I think the two guys complement each other pretty well, and I think they could be pretty interesting.
Yeah. I also saw that kind of retroactively that a lot of mocks slided Jerome Robinson so far up with the Clippers pick. It's kind of interesting. I've always figured mocks just kind of be almost like fan masturbation where, like, people are just like, yeah, I think this player would be good and blah, blah, blah. But something definitely leaked for Jerome Robinson. I think one of these other Clipper blogs also had talked about how much Jerry West was really into Jerome Robinson. And that was a couple of days before the draft too. And it's interesting. I don't know. It's pretty interesting. There's just so much free flowing knowledge in social media. And I want to say that there was also a podcast with one of the GMs who said that he had heard leaks about players being drafted before. Maybe it was on a Woj pod or somebody's pod, where one of the GMs was actively talking about how he heard social media leaks of, like, players that were coming up before his pick, and it influenced whether or not their team wanted to trade up, which is crazy.
I believe it was the Bucks GM, or it was either the Bucks or the Hawks. It had to do with they wanted to trade for Zaire Smith, maybe? Or no, it was a trade to get Huerter, which is who the Hawks got. But then they found out, because they wanted to trade up for him, but then they found out the Bucks didn't take him and were taking Dante DiVincenzo, and so they didn't trade up. And it screwed over whatever team was in between the middle of them. But yeah, it was something like that.
That's crazy. Like, that's There's too much information flowing. That's crazy. Well, I guess it's good and it's bad for a lot of fans, but I'd rather have teams just not finding out information that way. It seems like it kind of cheapens things a bit, and it kind of stops communication between like GMs talking to each other, because they're just kind of, I can't imagine just a GM watching for leaks on like social media or whatever, which some of them probably do, which is crazy to think. But yeah, it's an interesting new wrinkle in drafting. Anyway, so those are our rookies. I'm pretty excited to watch them both in Summer League. I'm pretty excited for Summer League in general. It's become kind of a quiet excitement for me. It feels like the basketball season never ends, really, especially when you come through July. It's still kind of really exciting, and July is always a lot of fun. And I think, Rob, you're going to Summer League, right?
Yes, I am. I'm going for 3 days. I'm actually not covering it because SB Nation has limited media credentials. I don't think they care if I say this. So Lucas will actually be covering the team. I'm just going to be getting free tickets to watch, which is still awesome. And honestly,
awesome.
Might be more fun that way. But, you know, I won't get the access, but I'll still try to poke around and just see what's going on. But yeah, I'm going to be there for 3 days, which will cover 2 Clippers games, the first 2.
It's pretty awesome. What do you think about the roster? What do you guys both think of the roster that's so far? I haven't really – do we have a roster aside from a few players outside of our rookies, or what's going on with the roster?
I actually literally just put up a quick article right before this about a guy that is going to the Summer League. I think that outside of the 2 rookies and Jawan and Sindarius, who will probably be there, last year's rookies, they signed a guy to a 2-way deal, or at least that was the report right after the draft. Angel Delgado from Seton Hall, he's a center. And then there have been 3 other guys. There's Robert Upshaw Jr., who was undrafted last draft, and then he played abroad. I forget where. He's a bigger wing. He's like 6'7 or 6'8, I think. Then there's this guy, Bogdan Blikniuk, who is from Eastern Washington and the all-time leading scorer in the Big Sky Conference. Heard about him before. Mm-hmm. And then the guy who I just wrote up is another Seton Hall guy, so they got a discount, 2-for-1. It's another wing whose name is Desi Rodriguez. And it is just a YouTube highlight reel, but he has some interesting parts to his game. He can shoot. Basically is the most interesting part. I think last year the Clippers did a similar thing where they had like 5 wings and all of them were just 3-point shooters, and they hoped one of them panned out, and it turned out to be Jamil Wilson. There's another 2-way spot open because CJ Williams is not a 2-way anymore, and Ty Wallace is a free agent. So they will have another 2-way open. So maybe one of these guys will be it. But from what I can tell, the roster, that's like 8 guys already. So there's not that many more players, and obviously a couple of them will be scrubs who even in summer league never get off the bench. Have you paid any attention to any of this, Adithya, or no? This is pretty mundane stuff.
No, I have not. Honestly, when Japan just asked the question, first I thought he was talking about the Clippers big league roster for next season.
Well, good. Adithya, what do you think about – well, this is like a general question. Do we think Kawhi Leonard, the trade rumors for Kawhi Leonard with what's coming from the Spurs, do we think they're kind of dead for now? Or is it even worth thinking about the idea that Kawhi Leonard could be a Clipper? I know he was preferring the Lakers, at least from all the leaks that you hear on social media. But – should we stop thinking about Kawhi Leonard as a trade topic in general? Do we just kind of assume he's going to be a Spur? What do you think about that, Aditya?
Well, I don't think that just because they say he prefers Lakers doesn't love Clippers. Like they have been multiple times mentioned that he's interested in the Clippers, although not as interested as the Lakers. Although I would maintain that that's just a smokescreen because, everyone is supposedly interested in the Lakers. It puts more pressure on their team when really they all want to come to the Clippers. I mean, naturally. It doesn't. Rob might be a little more plugged in, probably more plugged in than me, but it doesn't sound like there's much going on right now. But I'm sure the Clippers are trying to get in the conversation. But just the sense I get is that the Spurs are looking for a not necessarily Godfather offer, but somewhere Godfather adjacent or something to really want to trade him, especially to another Western Conference team, because that's something that apparently is an issue to them, according to like a report that came out the other day.
Yeah. Rob, are you pretty much over the Kawhi to wherever rumors, or are you just kind of waiting for something to happen on that front?
Yeah, I mean, I think in his article, I think it was the day after the draft, Lucas basically talked about this, and I think we discussed it like a little bit during the pod, but
Right. Part
of the problem with the Kawhi trade now is that the Spurs would have wanted their draft picks, the Clippers draft picks, so they could draft who they wanted, mm-hmm. and that's obviously not possible. I mean, Shea seems like a very Spurs type of guy, but they already have point guard on their roster, a young point guard, DeJounte mm-hmm. Murray, who can't shoot either. In many ways, like, he's actually, like, they play very differently, but in some ways they're kind of comparable. So I don't think he intrigues them that much. And Jerome Robinson, again, not really a Spurs type of guy, though. I mean, he does have great intangibles, so in that way maybe, but I don't think those are either of the guys they would have picked. Again, I have no possible information on saying that. I don't have any connections in the Spurs office. But yeah, I mean, that's a big dent, because those picks are just a lot less valuable to them now. I can't see a trade happening anymore. It would have to be Tobias, probably both Jerome and Shea, unless the Spurs just didn't want one of them. And like a future pick, maybe. And at that point, like, I don't know if you do it if you're the Clippers, like if you just give away all of your future, especially like, it's just tough, especially with DJ leaving. Like, if they trade for Kawhi and give up a lot of their future, and then DJ leaves, all of a sudden, like, Kawhi is obviously a superstar when healthy. But if you take away the second best player on the team and at a position where the Clippers don't really have anybody close to replacing him or anybody in the market who can replace him, and losing Tobias as well in the deal, like, I just don't think that team, like, Kawhi can drag a team to the playoffs, but that's still not really a contending team. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think the Clippers Spurs thing is happening anymore. Like, Jerry West is probably still phoning Pop and Buford every day, and they're probably just saying no. Sorry, Jerry. But I have no idea what they're going to do, because they seem to want to trade him anywhere but the Lakers, yet he wants to go to the Lakers. So
mm-hmm.
I think at this point, every day that passes that a trade doesn't happen, it's probably more likely he's on the team next year. But again, I don't have any inside information for saying that.
Right.
Anyways, I think that there's someone much bigger that the Clippers are definitely getting in a few weeks. You guys all know who I'm talking about, of course. It's LeBron. No, LeBron's coming to the Clippers, man.
I thought you were talking about Boban Marjanovic.
he's staying with the Clippers for sure. I mean, LeBron's coming here to play with Boban.
Every day that we have Boban is another day that we're getting Boban. So I feel very lucky to have him. But yeah, that's true. LeBron might be coming to play with Boban. So I just wouldn't be. I don't want both of them, Kawhi and LeBron, to be on the Lakers. That would not be as much fun. So it would be nice to see if Kawhi came to the Clippers, but at this rate, I kind of feel like it's just a pipe dream. And I don't even know. I feel like I would still trade Shai, SGA, and Jarrell Williams and Tobias for Kawhi if that sort of deal was on the table. But I'm a big Kawhi fan, still am, even
Kawhi
though he's been
amazing.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's been terrible to the Spurs, but I still love that guy. I think he's a really great player. So I would probably mortgage a lot of the future for Kawhi, even if it kind of would stab the Clippers in the back with the whole he could bolt for the Lakers the following season. I love Kawhi Leonard. So we'll see if there's anything to pick up there. Are there any, just off the top of your heads, are there any other realistic free agents that you feel like the Clippers could possibly sneak, assuming all the big fish are snatched by whatever teams, like the top five or so players, you know, like Leonard and Chris Paul, LeBron James, Paul George. We're all assuming that those guys are going to probably their favorite teams. But are there any kind of under the radar people that you're kind of looking forward to as being maybe a possibility for the Clippers? And are we kind of assuming that DeAndre is probably leaving? I'm going to start with you, Aditya.
Everything that I'm hearing, which is honestly my only sources, are Lucas and Rob. Sounds like DeAndre is leaving, although personally I guess if he has issues with the team, that plays into it, but it seems hard to think that he'll get more money on the market this year than he would by staying another year, unless he feels like he's going to drop off dramatically, which I guess is always a concern. Like, you know, getting, making sure that money is secure is something I can understand if that's his perspective. Other than that, I mean, honestly, Rob, you'd probably have to fact check the roster off the top of my head, but feels like they just have a very, very stuffed roster right now. So I would honestly guess it feels like trades are definitely more certain than like any kind of notable signings. That's just my impression, though. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, that's 100% accurate, I think. DJ, again, Lucas knows more than me. I know more than like some random person on Twitter. But,
I'm the random person on Twitter.
yeah, like it seems like he's probably going. I don't know where in particular, but I think honestly contending might be more important to him than like being like in a certain city or even getting money. Like he's not that old, but athletic centers like him don't age particularly well, and I'm sure he and or his agent kind of know that. So I'm guessing he's going to want to go to some team that is pretty good and can pay him like one last fairly large deal and he can get a good run at it. I really don't know where that would be. The Wizards continue to shop Merchant Gortat to get him off their team, but they'd have to trade more than that just in terms of assets and money to match with DJ, and the Clippers just don't have roster room either. So that's tricky. And then same for free agents. Like if he leaves, I think they'll sign a stopgap center because they didn't draft one. And Montrez really isn't a starting player. Boban isn't either. So I think they pick one up with like the biennial if they have one, or maybe the MLE. But I don't particularly know who that would be. But yeah, like I think the most likely is like at least one or two of their guards gets traded, whether that's Austin or Beverly or Milos. Those are the three most likely candidates. And then like they might cut Sam Decker. They might try to dump him to some team. I'm sure they're still shopping Gallo and aren't getting any calls in return. But yeah, like they need to unload some of their roster and they need to even it out, because right now they're just way too many guards and there's two big men. And I mean, Harrell's even a free agent. And if he gets an offer that they don't want to keep, he's gone too. So the only big man, like actual big man who's on the roster next season is Boban for sure. And then like, I guess you can count Gallinari as, and because he's just a power forward at this point. But yeah, I mean, I think we kind of touched on this last podcast too, but I think you can expect like Milos and Austin, I think, are probably the two most likely guys to not be there next season. I think Sam Decker and or CJ Williams will probably hit the road as well to clear up a little room at small forward. But it's tricky. I don't think they're really going to do much in free agency. I think probably re-sign Harrell as long as nobody gives him a crazy offer. Maybe Ty Wallace, depending on what else happens on the roster, bring him back. But again, if DJ leaves, sign a center, and that might be it. I think it'll be trades otherwise. But like if you do trade Austin, for example, like without, because I don't think any of us like have all the cap stuff or trade machine or whatever in front of us. Is there any like team or player or something you think could be a good swap for Austin, whether to like balance the roster in terms of a center or just maybe get something in exchange for him that's not horrible? I mean, because I think he's probably the most likely, and Milos we're going to see, but I think he's probably just going to end up getting cut. Like, do you think there's a good home for Austin somewhere out there?
Maybe LeBron James would be a good swap. I think it'd be pretty fair.
Both teams' needs.
I think it would cover what Cleveland needs, especially after losing Kyrie, the next Kyrie. But I don't know. Like, I'm not sure. I know Pat Beverly will be an easy trade for anybody that wants. I feel like Pat Beverly could be gotten. Will be somebody that most contenders will want on their roster, whether it's to start or come off the bench. He's just such a quality player to have on your team. I don't think it'd be hard to trade him. Austin, you know, I would think would also not be too hard to trade just because he's expiring at this point. But I don't know who wants Austin. I feel like there's so many good guards in the league. It's harder for me to say a team because Austin seems ideally to be a sixth man type of player. I can't see him starting on most decent teams. He can start on the Clippers right now, but I feel like you really need to be in the perfect situation to cater kind of to Austin and his skill set. And I don't think that teams are shying away from the fact that he's a good player now, but I don't think anybody's breaking down the door either. So it's kind of tough. I don't know. I do hope the Clippers, if they do lose DJ, can pick up a player kind of like a Nerlens Noel type. That would be a really nice swap if they can get a guy like that for cheap who does most of what DJ could do. And Noel in particular, just because I know it's already been kind of kicked around Twitter and Clips Nation, but I feel like he would be a great person to kind of invest in, even if it's just for a year, to see if he could bring a lot of what DJ brings in. That would be a fun fit. But aside from that, I mean, there aren't players that are particularly targeted. But it will be an interesting free agency because I'm sure there's going to be one or two players that hopefully the Clippers can pick up as soon as they get rid of some of these guards. I think Milos is gone. I would be surprised if Milos is a Clipper next year. I think the Clippers are gonna cut that guy. Like, as nice as of a story he was, there's just too many guards. SGA needs to get time. Jerome Robinson needs to be a bench player. And I still feel like there's at least some investment in Juwan Evans. I don't know. Maybe Thornwell will kind of get lost in the shuffle a bit this season, but I don't think he's going to get cut. I think they still have some investment in Thornwell too. But between Evans, SGA, Jerome Robinson, those three for sure will be getting minutes this year, I would assume, if the Clippers kind of wanted, you know, invest in their talent. So it's kind of interesting. I just don't know what the cleanest trade is going to be for the Clippers to get rid of these guys. I'm sure there are trades that exist, but aside from Beverly, I feel like none of these guys are really lighting GMs on fire. So, yeah, it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they trade, it won't be for like some big return. It'll be like Austin Rivers for like Marchand Gortat or something, or Austin and Wes Johnson for Tyson Chandler. Some trade like that to even the roster and get a center for like a year. Clear cap for the following year. So obviously Austin West would be free agents next year as well. But like, I don't think anything too exciting will happen. Like, as you said, Beverly's the only guy with real value. And even he's coming off a pretty serious knee surgery.
It's not
nearly as bad as it was 10 or even 5 years ago. But I mean, he's also not that young. He's had injury issues before. I don't know what even his value is. Like, I'd assume some team that could really use a backup point guard, or even like again, like the Suns, who don't have a point guard and really want to be good. Like, Pat Beverly's a perfect fit to like play defense on that roster, be a leader, got some toughness on the team, which is basically all young guys. I don't know like who they'd send back salary wise, but like maybe one of their young guys in a protected future first or something for Beverly. I think that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, if they ask around for Beverly trades, they'll get some. Like, and they'll get something solid.
Yeah.
Austin, I think they won't have to give anything up. Like, they won't have to give up any other assets, but, like, I doubt they get anything back. Like, again, if it was for, like, Gortat or something, like, maybe they get a second or, like, a guy stashed in Europe or something like that. Same with, like, him and Wes for Tyson Chandler. Like, they might get a tiny asset in return because Austin is better and younger. But, like, he's a free agent next year, and, like, he's just not a difference maker. So...
Right.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I just want to talk about LeBron again. it's really frustrating because I think there have been like several reports from pretty connected people that he just has no interest in being a Clipper. And it makes sense if like some of the rumors about like, oh, he just like wants to make money and get his family in the right spot and do like off the court stuff. Like then like the Lakers, like that'll just be a cash machine. Like he's a cash machine anywhere. But if he joins the Lakers, like jersey sales, shoes, everything, advertisements, it will be incredible. Like, he just rake in money in LA. for the Lakers. I mean, he would for the Clippers too, but not nearly as much. So if that's what he wants, and it seems like that's a pretty big part of it, then the Lakers do make sense. I think the Clippers, honestly, have a pretty good roster for him for any team that's like not doesn't have another superstar that complements him. Like Tobias Harris and Lou Williams and Pat Beverly are all pretty good fits with LeBron. He's made other good scoring guards like better than they have been before. Like Lou Williams is a pretty comparable to like prime Mo Williams, who LeBron turned into an all-star. And Tobias Harris is just a guy who's great as a second option and can shoot and doesn't need the ball that much. Like he'd be perfect next to LeBron. Same with Pat Beverly. So
right.
Like if LeBron doesn't want to join, like create another super team, and he just wants to go somewhere and like be a pretty good playoff team and make a decent run, like the Clippers are a good bet for that. I don't think they beat the Warriors, then they don't beat the Warriors unless they make some other move, and they might not even beat the Rockets. But like LeBron on this Clippers team without giving like that much up, much else up, like that's a pretty damn good team. That's like mid-50s, maybe even low-60s. But I don't, yeah, it's not going to happen. He's really the only free agent that's interesting to me. Like,
right.
Paul George is not happening, probably. Kawhi doesn't seem to be happening. And yeah, like the rest of the free, this is a bad free agent market because everybody's picking up their options. Like, if DJ opts out, he would be like a top five free agent in this market. And DJ is good, but like, he's not that good. There's just teams don't have money. A lot of guys are already locked up. They don't really have needs. And it's just, I don't think it, in terms of free agency, it's going to be that interesting. It's going to be more like just LeBron, George, Kawhi. And if those are all pretty boring, then I think it's going to be a really boring summer. But again, don't really have much to back that up with. So who knows? Yeah, I don't know. Like I'm waiting on some Twitter questions, but, what do you guys think about just like, again, we discussed this all of last year kind of, but like the blow it up route versus trying to stay competitive. Cause again, like the Clippers can make a real crossroads. Like if DJ leaves, you know, they could dump Milos, they could, you know, find trades for Beverly and Austin. And all of a sudden, like you're looking at like a 30 win team. So I mean, what do you think they should do? What do you think they will do for those general two broad options? I guess you can, Aditya, if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've mentioned this before, but I feel that for some, like compared to other teams, the Clippers have more at stake with a blow it up approach. Although, I mean, they've lost probably a lot of the cachet that they had even at the Pico Lob City era already, but they still have like some position of relevance. And especially with say Doc Rivers, who doesn't have to necessarily be long-term plan, or like Jerry West, the way they're set up right now, I think they do want to stay relevant in some capacity. The new arena potentially is another reason for them. And, you know, just the fact that if they could go back to being obscure and irrelevant in the shadow of the Lakers again, like they need to try to stay as relevant as possible. So something more similar to the Pacers or Houston Rockets approach is more in line with their particular market situation and Lakers situation, really. Let's be real. What about you, Sean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree with it. And we've talked about this so much, the idea of blowing it up with the Clippers situation, particularly with the Lakers teetering on real relevance again, just how much it means for the Clippers to maintain some relevance during this sort of transition period where the Lakers can kind of reclaim the LA throne, so to speak. Not that they ever really let go of it just by sheer numbers game, but I do understand that. But I do think that if DJ leaves, short of just hitting a big fish, I sort of already thought this last year, even if we could have traded DJ for a late first rounder or even two second rounders at that point, I do think there is something to just be held at completely bottoming out for at least for a season and hoping you could hit a home run rather than just like multiple bunts, you know, and being in that kind of no man's land of being in an 8/9 seed. Now, I hear terrible things about next year's draft. I, I never know how much stock to put into that this early in projections. But I do think if DJ leaves and we can't strike gold with, say, a Kawhi or a superstar, or even just an all-star, then, like, what are we doing, really? Are we just fighting for the 8-9 seed? And I think I'm going to get – I think if the Clippers even bottomed out, I would have fun watching SGA and you know, maybe Robinson would surprise us. But I think I would still enjoy watching this team. I like Tobias Harris. I like SGA. I like Pat Beverly if he stays. And, you know, it's – I still feel like – I don't feel like it's the Clippers of old anymore where you're just watching lottery picks and kind of pining on the fact that, hey, Al Thornton had a really good season this year. Like, I don't feel like that particularly. I do think that the team knows what they're doing. And if they do decide to kind of avoid just making these, you know, these kind of low level, let's maintain a level of mediocrity signings. And I think I trust the front office right now to make good decisions. And honestly, if it was me and they lose DJ and I can't get a superstar, like, what am I, you know, do I want another round of a 14th pick? Like, I don't know. I do think you would have to kind of think of the idea of bottoming out a little bit and just letting the kids play, you know, and rather than having Pat Beverly log 25 minutes a game and take away from SGA's, you know, development, I would rather just play SGA 30 minutes a game and seeing what he has and letting him develop. Like, I think that's better for the future of the team. So, yeah, that's kind of where I stand. Really quick question. Of the Clippers guards last year that were on the roster, who are the three guys and in what order that you guys want to keep? Because it feels like everybody outside of the rookies, let's not include Juwan Evans and Sindarius Thornwell. It feels like everybody outside of the rookies from last year and the rookies incoming are so super expendable and so kind of easy to think of moving. Do you want to keep any of these guys long-term? Austin Rivers, Patrick Beverley, Tyrone Wallace, CJ Williams, and even, you know, Avery Bradley. Are any of these guys players that you think with our team now and the young kids that we have, the rookies from last year and the rookies from this year, do you want to keep any of those guards? Or are you interested in keeping any of those guards at this point? We got four guards who have some potential just sitting on the team. So who do you even want to keep? Do we want to keep an Austin Rivers? We can start with you, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I think Austin is interesting because he's still youngish. So theoretically, in 3 or 4 years, if the Clippers' young guys pan out or they get free agents, like, he could still be a pretty good player, like, close to his prime on a good team. The issue with Austin's, like, even though he's good, and, you know, a lot of Clippers fans are kind of attached to him because he's been on the team a while, he's just not that hard a piece to replace. Not on a good team, he's a pretty good bench guard. He's probably, like, your sixth or seventh man, unless the rest of your starting lineup is stacked except for shooting guard. You know, even on a pretty good team, he could be a starter as long as the rest of the guys around him are pretty good. But he's not a guy who, like, I think – the team really needs to keep. Like, he's a nice player to have. If they get him for cheap, if he stays this entire, you know, this year on his deal, and next summer they're able to work out, like, a 3 or 4 year deal for, you know, $10 million or something, it's a fine deal. It doesn't take up much room. It's tradable. But I don't think they need to keep him. I mean, I think just in terms of intangibles and just what they bring to the team when the rest of the stuff starts to go, it's Pat Beverly. He's also just not going to be expensive unless he has a really good year this year because he's older, he's had injury issues, he's not very flashy. So I think for me, like, he's probably up there. But honestly, I would want to keep Lou Williams the most. I think that he's not that old, and he was so good last year that it could just be, like, an outlier in his career. It could be a career year, whatever. But, like, he should still be pretty good. And his contract is so cheap. I mean, that makes him really valuable. And if the Clippers start being really bad and he can get a first-round pick in return, like, of course you trade him. But that contract is amazing. And he should be at least, like, a pretty good bench guy throughout it. So So I think that, all that considered, like, I think he's probably the guard from last year who I'd want to keep the most, followed by Beverly, and then, like, a pretty big gap to Austin and Avery Bradley, and I think that's really it of the veterans. Like, I guess CJ Williams, if you count him, like, I don't, like, he's a nice backup, but yeah, and I'd say Lou and then Beverly probably.
How about you, Edith? Yeah.
You know, I guess my position is that, you know, the Clippers are not in a position where they can really make kind of these statements definitively. Like, you know, they're in a position where, you know, they need to make trades, and it's just a matter of seeing what comes up. Like, I would say, like, none of these guys are necessarily, oh, we need to keep this person at all costs. Like, they're all expendable in the right – they're all, like, movable in the right deal at this point. Like, this roster is definitely not – in states, like, definitely is in flux and will continue to be in flux this summer, as it has been over the last year, you know. And there's, like, no one really among this bunch that stands out so much that you can't let them go in any deal. I mean, assuming guys like, say, Lou Williams, hopefully we wouldn't be trading unless it's in a deal for a really, really good role player, or like some sort of low-level star, or better, as like Lou would be the central piece in that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we were talking about trade value. Absolutely, Lou Williams still has trade value, and he will throughout his contract. I do think Lou Williams is probably the easy answer to this question, but being the easy answer, as is Patrick Beverly, they both have such nice trade value for a future pick. So it's tough. It's kind of an interesting situation for the Clippers to be in. And like Rob was kind of mentioning, DJ leaving is a huge crossroads just because of how easy it would be to cut bait with almost everybody on the roster, except for Gallo, I guess. I think that's really, for the most part, all I have to say at this point. Do we have any Twitter questions already, Rob?
Yeah, we have a bunch, actually.
Nice.
I think we have, like, four. So the first one from Big Ben at Step Back Tree. Do you think Shea or Jerome will be starting in October? Either or, why or why not? I guess I'll start.
Yeah.
I think Shea probably will start. He was the 11th pick. He has a game that I think should translate relatively quickly to the NBA. He's a guy who I think they want starting long-term. So I think I think he will start, especially if Milos and Austin are gone. He would start alongside Pat Beverly with Lou and Jerome off the bench. I don't think Jerome will start just because I think they'll be wanting to work on his defense. I don't think he's going to be good defensively, but especially against starting-level guys who just get torched, I think. So, yeah, and I think Shea will start. But I won't be that shocked if neither of them started, really. What do you think, Shaq?
I think Shea will start too. And for me, I've barely seen any of these Jerome highlights, but I can't think of him as anything but a sixth man right now until he kind of proves me otherwise. And maybe that's kind of messed up, but I think that's a good expectation to hold for him at the time being, just because of how porous of a defender he's been. And he's at least seemed to be, and I've heard about him through various social media outlets. And, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just so used to Jamal Crawford and Jordan Crawford, for that matter, just being these all offense, no defense guards, and just being very hard to maintain as a starter or to close games until I kind of see a little bit different from him. I think he seems like a sixth man type. And we have so many good guards, even if Austin stays, if Pat Beverly is healthy. These guys are all starters. Like, those two are starters, definitely well ahead. But I think SGA, just from watching him play, I definitely think that guy's going to be a starter. I would almost be sort of surprised if by the end of the season he's not starting, to be honest. What about you, Aditya?
You repeat the question. I'm sorry.
Do you think SGA or Jerome Robinson will start by season's end? Right? Is that right? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it definitely seems like SGA will definitely get a few starts at some point, hopefully. I honestly, again, you know, I've not even seen so much as a single highlight of his, or maybe one. I've seen one or two, actually. somewhere on Twitter, like maybe months ago, but I have seen them. But, you know, he definitely seems like he's going to be, from my limited film analysis, like an all NBA type player, potential future MVP. So I think he'd be starting sooner than later.
Yeah.
I think the question was specifically October, and I'm not certain if they'll be starting in October, but I definitely think they'll be starting. I think Shea will be starting probably by mid-season, but to start the season, I'm not so certain. Maybe, I mean, Doc has always been a guy to kind of trust his guys initially anyways, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Austin and Pat Beverly starting the season as long as we still have those guys on the roster. But I do think Shea will eventually start. I don't know how quickly, but I wouldn't be surprised if by the All-Star game, regardless of who's on the roster, that he's starting.
Yeah, and I think that's about sums it up. So the next question is from Andres at Andrew from 5-7. Do we think the Clippers make a run at Noel or any other centers should DJ opt out? Idea of trade partners for DJ, should he opt in? Any chance DJ stays? This is a million questions. Do you think Shea should start alongside Pat Bev? Will Gallo be healthy by training camp? Thanks. That is seven questions in one question, my man.
I don't think Gallo will ever be healthy, so no.
Yeah, we can answer that. No, he's not going to be healthy. Just answered the Shea thing. I guess most of the rest of them revolve around DJ. I mean, I think there is a chance he stays. I don't think it's not guaranteed he's gone.
Yeah.
And trade partners, again, I don't really have any. I mean, I think probably he would opt out and then just sign somewhere else. But I think Noel is really interesting. I think taking a flight on a guy who's pretty young and has shown at least some NBA skills is a really good, smart thing to do. So, yeah, like I think that makes sense as a flyer. But, yeah, I don't really have any other answers about who else they should make a run at or idea trade partners. You guys don't really either, do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think giving Noel an audition year on a cheap contract would be great and good for both teams, both sides. That's definitely something I would look forward to if DJ is to leave. So if that does happen, yeah, I'm on board with the idea of giving Noel a flyer. I haven't really thought about too many other replacement centers. I don't know. I know Alex Len is being cut right now, so not that I'm interested in him, but yeah, I can't really think. I mean, it would be nice to have a rim roller. Maybe even just for the team's sake, or, you know, I just don't know. I'm not terribly informed on the very readily free big men that are on the board for us to get if DJ leaves. So, yeah, what do you think of it, Dan?
LeBron James, only answer.
LeBron James. He can play center. It's a good post-up game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, LeBron answered every question. The third question is
that's
from
what the guest did.
Yeah. The third is from Kai at Genie Kynaldum. Who would you like the Clippers to pick up during free agency? You know, ideally, again, LeBron James. Realistically, Noel is a good answer. I think there's some interesting guys. I mean, Lucas has mentioned targeting Mario Hezonja as like a guy coming off a rookie contract who was pretty bad for most of it, but should be pretty cheap. Was a lot better this past year, though still not exactly great. You know, he'd be an interesting flyer. Yeah, I think all three of those guys, you know, LeBron, Noel, Hezonja, all comparable, really.
Very comparable. And Hezonja got really great draft grades, so can kind of make up for Jerome Robinson. So
yeah, exactly. We'll be like, hey, we got this guy, like, and he's still only 23. Like, that counts as a draft pick, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, do you guys don't really have, like, we've kind of been over this. I don't think you guys have any.
Yeah, LeBron ideas. James, pretty much. That's about it.
LeBron James. The Law of the Jam, LeBron James podcast. But yeah, I think we'll just move on to the final question here from Mark Thompson at Matt Tomp 501. Have teammates ever finished 1-2 in Rookie of the Year with a wink? I don't think so, actually. It's possible. But usually guys huge stats off each other. Like, if one guy is really good, then his teammate probably won't be either. I would have to look that up, to be honest. I don't think it's happened. I'm sure two teammates have gotten Rookie of the Year votes. One might have even got it with another guy who received votes. But I don't think it's ever 1-2. But I have no idea. You guys have any memory of that potentially happening?
No, I don't think that's ever happened. I can't. I feel like the last time I remember two rookies really shining for a period of time was it Darren Collison and Marcus Thornton when Chris Paul was hurt. I remember they were both really good. For a stretch of games. Marcus Thornton, who was a Rocket not too long ago. Is Marcus Thornton still in the league?
Nope.
Oh.
He's gone.
Darren Collison, though, good player. Yeah.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah.
Won the Clippers a playoff game.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He played terrible defense on Westbrook that series, man. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I was just like the full court pressing him and just losing him every single time.
Right.
Even in the game that he won for them. Like,
Was Darren Collison's Clipper game, definitive Clipper game, the last happy basketball moment of your life? Either person.
I mean, Chris Paul game winner against Spurs and Rockets in game 3 and 4.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that Spurs series was definitely pretty good.
But I feel like when Collison, you know, obviously it was just Collison, Jamal Crawford hit the go ahead shot. Even when the Clippers were up against the Spurs and were blowing out the Rockets, probably that was my peak Clipperdom. But I still had that feeling just from all that stain from the OKC series that the Clippers could still lose this. I don't know if it's just my inner Clippers fan, but I felt like when the Clippers tied that series at 2-2 and then went up 7 points in game 5, I feel like that was the most confident I was in the Clippers' ability to close the game. Because remember, that Spurs series was littered with just the Clippers choking down the stretch. Even though they won in 7 games, they were pretty bad in a couple of those home games down the stretch, where they, especially in game 2, where they had that game like almost sealed and Blake lost the ball with 7 seconds left for no reason. And then there was that pretty bad, was it game 5?
Four.
Yeah. So those weren't really inspiring confidence. I did think the Rockets were just absolutely terrible by the time the Clippers were up 3-1. Of course, that changed pretty quickly. But I feel like I thought the Clippers could really close games during that OKC series. And even during the Warriors series, where I felt like they kind of lost one of the games just by the weight of the Sterling saga. They lost game 4 pretty handily. But aside from that, they didn't really choke away games. I don't know. I feel like that Darren Collison was a pretty important moment in my Clipper life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's make sure. Let's end this on a happy note.
Yeah. Sorry.
Before we get too caught up.
I don't know. Happy notes. Like, they haven't had 2 first round draft picks like in the lottery, or even 2 first round draft picks. Period. I think. Since Eric Bledsoe and Al-Farouq Aminu, which was a while ago. So that's exciting. Summer League, it'll be the most exciting Summer League team since then, which was 2010, I believe.
One more random question, well, since you brought it up. Is Aminu better than Bledsoe now? I mean, Shrell's is, yeah.
Yeah, right? He is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's more valuable, which is
Aminu.
Insane.
Aminu turned out to be a... I know they left him wide open that whole series that he played this year, and it kind of did in the Blazers, but Aminu's turned out to be a pretty good player.
Yeah, he's pretty solid. Like, he can defend multiple positions. He can hit threes. He's, like, not horrible at other stuff outside. Like, he can't really make plays for others, but, like, the rest of his game is pretty good. Like, he's a good rebounder. Yeah, like, I think he's definitely easily more valuable than Bledsoe, who's just, I don't even know, like, because we haven't seen Bledsoe in, like, an ideal situation since he left the Clippers. He's just not a starting point guard, and teams have been trying to make him into that for 5 years now, 5-6 years, and he had one good season with the Suns, where he started for them, and he was good, and, like, he was healthy, and outside of that, like, he's an energy guy off the bench, who you play for defense, which he doesn't do anymore, and just to, like, bring chaos. And to, like, he's not a great passer. He can't really shoot. I don't know. His career actually really depresses me. So we're back to sad again.
I feel like Bledsoe just doesn't care. Like, if he was on
too.
I know he's playing with Giannis, but I feel like he just doesn't care. It's weird. He should probably care more because he's playing with one of the best players in the league, but I don't know what happened to him. He had so much energy as a Clipper. He probably just peaked as a Clipper. And then, of course, very beginning of his career with the Suns, and it just, the apathy just sort of took over his game. And it's really sad because you can see it with how much.
Now.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, speaking of depressing, like the Bucks the last year, that was depressing. Hopefully they'll be a little bit more fun this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the Clippers will be fun. I think they'll be fun to watch this upcoming year. I think, even though I'm not super high on him, like, Jerome Robinson should be really fun to watch play basketball. And I think so should Shai. I think the Clippers will be fun. I think they have a great summer league team, which obviously not that important except for huge basketball nerds and Clippers fans and whatever. But, and I think that's a high note. I think they drafted two exciting guys. They both seem like really good people. They both seem smart. They're serious about basketball. All good signs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Like, and I think Clippers fans should be excited. I'm not going to go overboard on the hype for either of them, but I think some excitement and hype is warranted. Like, they're two lottery picks.
And we're getting LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron James is coming too. I'm excited for the team. And Tobias Harris is also a stud. And
yeah.
Between those three guys, if Jerome Williams... if Jerome Robinson can be Junkyard Dog Robinson, if he can be a starting quality player, or caliber rather, if he can start even on this team by the season's end, it'll be great. Like, that'll be a lot of fun. And I don't know if he'll be a starter on any NBA team, but if he can outplay the guards, or even just outwork the guards on this team and end up earning a starting spot, then I think that we'll all be sort of pleasantly surprised, and that'll be really good for the Clippers' future. And at the very least, they'll have those two guys and Tobias to build a future on. And that's not a bad way to start. So I think the team should be a lot of fun to watch. I'm really looking forward to seeing SGA and how good he can be. He looks like a very, very good player. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to Summer League. It should be so much fun. And I don't have to study for boards, so I can just watch every game. So that would be great.
Yeah, I think that's probably about it, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the end of the episode. You guys have anything else to say?
No.
Sorry for depressing everyone with that random Darren Carlson flashback. That was on Mother's Day. That was a great game. That was fun. That was a fun game. Be happy. The numbers were good. That was a really fun game. I was very excited for that
and
game.
And they kept the rest of the NBA season after that one. Like, I'm not sure why, but no, I understand it.
Right. Anyway, so I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Law of the Gen, the podcast. We're going to be trying to come to you every Monday morning, recording on Sundays. Hopefully, we'll have a lot to talk about. Summer League is just around the corner. NBA free agency is just around the corner. July 1st is coming up this weekend. So there'll probably be fun things to talk about next weekend, right? Because next Sunday is at July 1st. So I think that people will be signing and we'll have things to talk about. Maybe the Clippers will be able to retain some guys. Maybe there'll be trades happening. There's definitely going to be a lot of talk going on at this time next weekend. So that'll be a lot of fun. So we'll catch you guys then. And as always, go Clippers!
Oh, some thought about the